with the message. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Let's read through verse 14. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, they took action. And they rose up before Moses, together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron, and they said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" And when Moses heard this, he fell on his face. And when he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring near to himself even the one whom he will choose. He will bring near to himself. Do this. Take censers for yourselves, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them, and lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord tomorrow. And the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You've gone far enough, you sons of Levi." And then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near, Korah, and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you. Are you seeking for the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumbled against him?" And then Moses sent a summons to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up. Is it not enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness? But you would also lord it over us? Indeed, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." So, Lord, I pray that we would take instruction this morning from this group that have confronted Moses concerning his leadership and their disappointment about how things have turned out for them. And, Lord, as we study this and look at what happened 3,500 years ago, Lord, may you make it something that's real to us today. May we see in this story, Lord, how our hearts are laid bare and open before you with whom we have to do. We pray that we would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. They're about 14 months out of Egypt. They've been delivered. They've spent a year at Mount Sinai, and now they've gone up to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And 12 spies have been sent into the land. You know the story. 10 spies came back with a bad report. The cities are large. They're fortified. The place is very populated. And there's a bunch of giants in the land. We cannot enter the land. We cannot take Canaan. The promised land is something that is not going to be given to us. Now, the main reason for leaving Egypt was to enter Canaan. It was to enter the promised land. And they didn't. And now they blame Moses for that. They blame Moses for their failure to enter into the promised land. And some of the men here, is obvious, they don't like Moses' leadership, and so they challenge him. So, why does that matter to you? This happened 3,500 years ago. Why does it matter to you? Because we can see you, we can see us in these men who rose up to challenge Moses' leadership. So hear their words. Pay special attention to the words that they speak in verse 3. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron, and they said to them, "You've gone far enough," and listen to what they say, "for all the congregation are holy, every one of them." All the congregation are holy. every one of them. That's their estimation of Israel. But they are not on the same page with God when it comes to his estimation of Israel. If you turn back to one chapter or two chapters, to chapter 14, verse 11, we're going to see what God's estimation of Israel is. Chapter 14, verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me?" And so God sees that they are a generation that reject him, and they're a generation that don't believe in him. Look at verse 22. The Lord continues to speak to Moses, "Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, have not listened to my voice." They're a disobedient generation. Check out verse 27. The Lord says to Moses, "How long shall I bear with this evil generation that is grumbling against me?" And again in verse 29, they're grumbling against the Lord. In verse 33, the Lord speaks to Israel. It says, "Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness." So, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, they come to Moses, and they say, "Hey, listen, all the congregation are holy, every one of them, but their words don't line up with God's words. Their estimation of God's people doesn't line up with God's estimation. They see it so differently." Notice also in verse 3 of chapter 16, they say that the Lord is among them. The Lord is in the midst of Israel. But if you look at chapter 14, verse 34, chapter 14, verse 34, the Lord speaking to the people, "According to the numbers of days which you've spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even for 40 years, and you shall know my opposition." So instead of the Lord being among them, they're going to know the Lord's opposition. And then also in verse 42 and 43 of chapter 14, Moses is speaking to the people, "Do not go up." They're going to go fight the Canaanites. "Don't go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites will be there in front of you, and you will fall by the sword, inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord, and the Lord will not go up with you." So in chapter 16, these men, these rebels, come to Moses, and they say, "The Lord is among the people. The Lord is in their midst." And Moses says, "I don't think so. The Lord has said specifically, I am not among you, and I will not go up with you." So they're not on the same page with the Lord. They're speaking different words. Also notice in chapter 16, verse 3, "Why do you exalt yourselves among the congregation?" And they're saying here that Moses and Aaron have promoted themselves, have somehow politically maneuvered and positioned themselves as the leaders of Israel. But if you know the story from Exodus chapter 3 on through Numbers chapter 16, it's the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron. They wanted nothing to do with it. In fact, how many times did Moses protest? Until the Lord finally got him in a headlock and pounded on him and said, "Moses, you're going to be the leader of Israel." And Moses finally said, "Okay, Lord, I submit to your will." Moses did not want to do it. Moses did not maneuver. Moses did not politically position himself. It wasn't some kind of strategic thing that he did. It was the Lord who exalted Moses and Aaron above Israel. And so these men who challenge Moses and Aaron's leadership, they're not on the same page with the Lord, and they speak the direct opposite of what the Lord says. God says they're an evil generation, but these rebels say they're all holy. The Lord says, "I'm not among them," but the rebel says, "The Lord is in their midst." God says, "I appointed Moses and I appointed Aaron." And the rebels say, "All of us have the same appointment. There's no one that's different. We all have these, roles that are reversible. And you've been the leaders long enough. Give somebody else a chance right here." So obviously, what the Lord says and what the rebels say with their words are two different things. Now, we know that words are the expression of thoughts. And these men, they speak twisted words because they're thinking warped thoughts. See, the top layer, the thing that you can see most of someone or in terms of when they're talking is their words. You know, this is the difference between a book and a movie. You know, with a book, it tells us what the, you know, main person or whoever it is that they're talking about, what they're thinking. And then they say what these people, the words that they speak. The author writes that out. But with a movie, you just hear the words that are spoken. You don't know the thoughts and the motives and the desires of the person speaking to them. And so this is why books are so much better than movies. It takes you further down into the character of the person. But these people here, they speak twisted words because they are thinking warped thoughts. The top layer is words, and there's a layer underneath words, and that layer is the thoughts. But there's a layer that's even deeper than the thoughts. Not only are their words twisted because their thoughts are warped because their wills are corrupt. And so you have the words they speak, the thoughts they think, and then the will down there that chooses what thoughts to think and what words to speak. We have words and thoughts, and then the layer below that is your will. These men here, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, they have an agenda that goes deeper than what they say. It sounds like they are